It's Sunday, which means it's time for Viewpoint Presents with Malcolm and Michael Johns. Each week, we bring you the top global and national news stories presented with facts and top-tier analysis, all from a perspective rooted in America's founding principles. Join us in defending our great nation and American liberty. Now, here's Malcolm and Michael with the week's top stories.
Well, we are coming now to the week of politics that we've been talking about for months and months here. The vote, the Electoral College, the joint session of Congress, the rallies, the sixth, all of this happens. And then, of course, we have the Georgia Senate races on the fifth. The president will be speaking there Monday night on the fourth. So this is going to be a week of consequence. That's important for all of us to understand. Something is going to have to happen between now and the end of the next week that will tell us something, which direction we're heading in. Now, there is some important news to share with you, and that is it started with Josh Hawley. Remember, we have to have someone from the Senate side, someone from the House side in Congress to be able to challenge the electors and all of that on the 6th with the joint session of Congress. To remind you, these are the rules of engagement. We understand we talked about in the first hour where Vice President Pence was in all of this in that electoral charge. But here's the news you want to know. There are now 11 more senators that have announced, this just happened yesterday now, they're going to challenge the electoral votes on this January 6th joint session of Congress. Let me read you a point from the statement here. America is a republic whose leaders are chosen in democratic elections. Those elections, in turn, must comply with the Constitution and with federal and state law. When the voters fairly decide an election pursuant to the rule of law, the losing candidate should acknowledge, respect the legitimacy of the election, and if the voters choose to elect a new office holder, our nation should have a peaceful transfer of power. This statement goes on to say, the election of 2020, like the election of 2016, was hard fought, and then many swing states narrowly decided. The 2020 election, however, featured unprecedented allegations of voter fraud violations and lax enforcement of election law and other voter irregularities. Accordingly, we intend to vote on January 6th to reject the electors from disputed states as not regularly given and lawfully certified, unless and until the emergency 10-day audit is completed. Now, we're talking here, friends, Senator Ted Cruz, Ron Johnson, James Lankford, Steve Daines, John Kennedy, Marsha Blackburn, Mike Braun. You've got, and a lot of the new elects as well. So you get the picture here of what's happening here. This is a big deal now. Let me bring on Michael Johns and welcome you to Viewpoint Presents. This is Malcolm along with Michael Johns. This is big news, Michael. And now we have a battle that is ready, because now you have a large group of senators and representatives that will bring this battle to the electors, and they're asking to be heard. What do you make of it?
Happy New Year, Malcolm, 2021. Happy New Year to our treasured audience. And I wish I could tell you that we woke up in New Year's with all these issues resolved, but they're not resolved. But I agree with you completely that the latest developments in the U.S. Senate are incredibly encouraging, not just simply that we've had this monstrous growth of the number of senators who are going to rise to challenge the authenticity and accuracy of the election, but also the fact that there is growing support there for the appointment of some sort of election or electoral commission that would actually conduct a more intensive investigation potentially outside of the Senate. Referring to a roughly 10-day audit that would occur. And that's precisely, as you have heard me talking about since election day, what we need. And also, I think for those who are out there who have been feeling depressed about this whole situation, and I know there's a range of emotions going on in this country right now. You got a lot of anger, you got a lot of anxiety, and you got a lot of confusion. How is it that this election could potentially be stolen from a president who up to COVID was doing so well for a candidate who ran such a utterly unremarkable campaign. And the answer is this thing is not over yet. So, I continue to be encouraged with optimism about the spirit, I think, of the American people to rise on this great rally emerging in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, concurrent with the review of the Electoral College votes, and what appeared to be, I think, a very long day that day, because I think you have an allocation of 2 hours per contest. That's not 2 hours for the entire debate. That's 2 hours per state. And I would expect that we're going to have, you know, 6, 8, 10 states at least contested based on available information. So I am, and I think our audience should be, renewed with a spirit of energy and optimism that, as we've talked about, this is the opportunity for patriots to rise, to take on a challenge that is incredibly unfortunate, but not beyond our ability to resolve.
Yeah, because as you say, the people to rise, one of the points we certainly brought up and discussed in the first hour of Viewpoint, Michael, is that President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence cannot do this themselves. So we're talking here, Michael, a 10-day audit. We're talking an electoral commission. We're talking about going through a process again through this debate, as you say, but then really going through a legitimate process, which is what you and I have been asking for some time. What's legit? What's real? What's right. Honest? We're not asking for anybody to cheat here. We're not asking for anybody to steal. We're not asking for anybody to play games. Just get to the truth and let's deal with the truth. Why is that so hard That's for right. these people, right?
Yeah, that's right, Malcolm. And, and while we're talking about this, sometimes these ideas just come to me simultaneously, regardless of how the motion for this commission plays out in Congress. You know, it occurs to me, this has got to be set up regardless. So if it's set up with congressional blessing, that's obviously the best, because it's going to have, jurisdictional command and an ability to really be viewed authentically and hopefully to reallocate electors appropriately, as I believe is warranted. But even if this thing falls short, this idea is so good that it should occur even without congressional blessing. This is the sort of intensive review that we need, including cooperation from the states that we have not been getting. And you know the examples of those. Some of those mm-hmm. are absolutely outrageous. The question emerges, just to be blunt about it, what are they hiding?
That's right. That's right.
What are they hiding?
Michael, they shouldn't fall short at this point, though. If they're saying now, they're demanding this electoral commission, and they're saying this is going to happen, so I can't see why this would fall short. This should happen, this 10-day audit, from what they're saying. They're demanding it. And this is through the debates. Well, and quite frankly, right, let me say this, Michael. Let me say this. If they don't, they're demanding it. They want it. They say this is going to happen. And if there is a pushback and a rebuke where somehow the levers of power try to, avoid this confrontation.
Well, of course they are going to.
Well, then you know what should happen? Here's what should happen then. And Michael, and I mean this wholeheartedly, and this 100% absolutely needs to happen. Every GOP senator and congressman need to stand up and walk the hell out of those chambers and tell them we are not moving forward until this is done.
Well, and this is why, okay, this is what takes me back to the Tea Party movement and why I have had such a focus on it, because what have we learned since Election Day about those individuals committed to both honest election and to our Constitution? We learned, unfortunately, and I hate to say it, that these Washington, D.C. based organizations that have been raising lots of money for a long, long time, saying they would fight these battles on our behalf, billions of dollars that they've taken in, you'd be hard pressed to even notice, with a few exceptions, that they are even, we're even in this battle. All of the passion, all of the strategy, all of the energy is among grassroots conservatives, which is to say, the Tea Party movement, the MAGA movement, and the people. And that's where the solutions have to, come from at this point. Though I think also the secondary issue is that we have to, these institutions, we've they got to feel some pressure too. And we're just not very good at this game, to be blunt about it. I think you and I are comfortable having an honest assessment. And I'm not saying this to disparage any of these institutions either. I know they got all kinds of conflicting pressures and things of that nature, and they got themselves in a little bit of a situation. But you got to go back to what your mission statement is. If your mission statement is you're going to protect the Constitution, limited government, and you got a potentially rigged election with thousands of affidavits and, you know, six key swing states that look like they might have been miscounted, that's got to be like on the front burner here for the last 2 months. And it just simply, with the exception of Judicial Watch, I'm going to call them out for doing a great job, a few other organizations, I'm just not seeing the magnitude of strategic planning or energy that you would see at the organizations that are well-funded, that have professionals in place who could launch this, right? So then the burden comes back on us, the people, to put together organizational structures to deal with all of the complexities of that, meaning it's impromptu kind of organization on an issue of unbelievable national challenge against institutional influence that sort of made their mind up on this issue a long time ago and is raising every possible barrier to us to resolve it.
On the 5th, we're going to know, we should know, what's going to happen. By the time we get to the 6th and the rallies and what's going to take place with the joint session of Congress, we will know who those two senators are. We should have some idea. Now, I had a representative from the Mighty American Strike Force and a gentleman up front of the program who's on the ground there in Georgia and who has said very clearly to me and to our listeners that the same problems are happening in Georgia now that happened through the main election. None of it has been fixed.
Well,
indeed.
Is that surprising?
I mean, no, it's not. You and I've been talking about it right along. But I bring this up for this reason now. He's saying that same problems are happening. And he made a prediction. And this guy's pretty solid as a constitutionalist himself. He said he expects, based on what he sees and all the affidavits and the evidence now, the fraud is absolutely there. And he thinks it's very likely that the Democrats will try to pull those two Senate seats off and may very well win them. He believes they're in the driver's seat to have enough fraud to make it happen. Now, they've obviously stacked the deck at this point to take the whole levers of power down and make this happen. That leaves a little bit of a quandary and a confrontation coming into the 6th and the joint sessions of Congress, depending upon what happens on the 5th or 6th. That kind of sets all this up for, I think, Michael, even a bigger fight with what happens in Georgia. And it's hard to believe that Governor Kemp and the Republican leadership in their state have not fixed this problem. But clearly, I'm seeing from all reports in the last many days, they fixed nothing. What do you make of this coming head-to-head confrontation? And how does that play into the 6th, the joint session of Congress, and with what happens in Georgia, brother?
Well, that was my point, which we raised right after this. I said, you cannot go into this crucial January 5 two Senate runoffs.
But they're doing it. They're doing
without,
it.
Okay. So, well, not only, it's even worse than that, actually. I mean, so we wanted, what I have been pushing for very heavily in Georgia and nationally is a special session that, has not been called. We did get a subcommittee hearing that was overwhelming. You won't read much about it. The findings of it in the mainstream media that pretty much, again, blacklisted it. But one of the most outrageous things was they had this, fairly accomplished tech inventor arise to testify, and he said, that he had with relative ease, while literally sitting in the hearing, his people had hacked into the Dominion software and had two-way communication with it. So we've been told over and over again, oh no, these Dominion systems aren't connected to the internet. They're fraudulent proof, and you and I walked through a lot of the examples, a lot of the concerns about this, and the fact that there's not many examples you could point to where there haven't been controversies around the use of this. And so here this guy gets up, provides this testimony before a Senate subcommittee. And my question is, like, where is that? It's amazing. And I can't tell you yet, look, this guy that I've witnessed his evidence or that I've personally evaluated or that I'm even with my limited tech knowledge, expertise capable of doing that. But where is the national emergency? Where is the sense of response from the Georgia Secretary of State office, which has become a partisan office designed to elect Democrats? It's supposed to be constitutionally charged with overseeing free and fair elections in Georgia. And where is the FBI, which ultimately has criminal oversight and civil oversight to election wrongdoing in this country? What are they doing? And by the way, I want a reminder to our good friend, President Trump, you're still president of the United States. Exercise your authority and power, okay? You know, if we have an FBI director in there who's not taking election fraud seriously, terminate him and get a new one. There's too much at stake here.
Yeah. I think people are lost in the weeds, number one, when you say what you say. We're so into the next news cycle or the next big story or shoot a drop that we're losing sight of what you just said, that there's still a lot of power to fix a lot of these things. And the president could act on a lot of things. I think that's what has got, as you referenced earlier, Michael, the American people are at they're not restful right now. There's a lot of unrest in the country.
Well, because they know
can feel it. They're
they
antsy.
Know it.
The whole country knows it. You know, we're in some really remarkable moments of time that you can't even describe in words of what's taken place. And I've got some thoughts more to that end. We'll talk about a little later in the show to share with you and get your take on it. But staying fixed to this year, I would think you would agree with me when I say that we're about ready now to enter, potentially, Michael, the biggest week of politics in our country, certainly in our lifetimes over this next week. It's going to be pretty remarkable to see how this plays out, don't you think, huh?
Yeah, I think a very important week. I mean, this has got to be one of the most important in our lifetimes. And, you know, that is to say, you know, so we have this election and how does this play out in the final days? You know, I mean, did I see Purdue is, you know, in isolation with concerns over COVID? I mean, just it's amazing that we end up in these situations. The polling on it, I don't know how reliable it is, but it doesn't look good.
That's what they said.
You know, both of these Republican candidates down about 5 points, and that's not counting the fraud on top of it that we have, you know, the thesis of which is that the Democrat Party has put into place all sorts of roughly half a dozen different means of impacting these elections. We saw the counting of the ballots in Atlanta. One piece of just obvious advice, which I, you know, historically would not even bother saying because you would just think this is common sense, but even on our side, I'm not seeing all the evidence of common sense. No Republican or GOP or campaign affiliated poll watchers should be leaving any of these locations, period. You know, they close these things down, every person leaves, and they shouldn't be closing them down. There's no reason. These votes should be counted continuously, and any obstruction of poll watchers has to be, like, immediately addressed, including legally. So I hope there are attorneys on the ready and judges on the ready to hear these cases of any obstruction, because this was the excuse they used, and they kind of fell back on the COVID 6 feet, you know, excuse. As you know, many have pointed out, this like is like a very strategic plan, and it doesn't go back to the campaign. It goes all the way back to COVID itself. And, you know, the thesis that, that the release of COVID was, you know, manipulated and utilized for political motivations to create the conditions under which a fraudulent election could occur. And I don't think there's almost any week that's gone by since we launched this fast growing popular podcast of ours, Malcolm, that we haven't tackled our concerns about voter fraud, then our recognition that it actually not just occurred, but occurred in ways we hadn't even thought of.
Yeah.
And now, of course, what this country can do to clean up.
Well, it
in
has
the
to.
Aftermath.
It has to. Yeah. When I seen that report come out this week on Purdue with COVID, by the way, I did a roll of the eyes like you wouldn't imagine, Michael, because I was thinking, you got to be kidding me again. It seems like they're always using, now this is a virus again that has a 99.9%. And, you know, unless you have some underlying conditions, you're in your 80s or 90s, the chances of you being fine with COVID, I mean, are very good. I mean, there are other other things you could get that are far more deadly than what the, and I say that because it's accurate. I know what I'm talking about. And yet they continue. When I seen that with Purdue, and I thought, here they go again. They use this flu to isolate people, take them off the trail, do these kinds of things because they politicized this whole COVID thing, which I think is total nonsense. I mean, a lot of things are deadly in our country, Michael. That's not the only one. But we don't lock ourselves down and we don't lock politicians up and people up because of it. And so I think that's a real problem for me, what's going on here. And this Purdue thing, I think, is a real test of time again. And it should be alarm to everybody. You know, I want to tell you something here. The President Trump, you know, as we now get toward this moment, I've been waiting. You and I last week, Michael, talked about Rudy Giuliani, the president's attorney. He made some very big claims and we discussed it. And he talked about it's going to be very shocking to the country. He said that what we're going to see is going to be like a bomb all at once. And it's going to be immediately after Christmas. We didn't see any of that. I didn't see anything more coming from Rudy other than, again, a lot of big declaratives and a lot of adjectives that people are using. But yet, when it comes down to it, okay, where is this big bomb? Where's the big shock? And what's the moment where we're going to say, okay, there's, you know, this has got to be fixed. And then the president, and here's what I want to point out. You know, I've been seeing, okay, when does the president say, okay, there it is, we got it. And now we're seeing this joint session of Congress. Now, everybody continues to point out to me, President Trump is the best strategic president when it comes to using strategy and plays multi-level chess. It's pointed out to me all the time. The president tweeted out this message. Massive amounts of evidence will be presented on the 6th. I don't know if you've seen this, but this to me was the most important message. He said, we won big, but then he says, that the evidence of alleged election fraud will be presented on the 6th during the joint session of Congress. So what I'm guessing now, Michael, is this. I'm guessing now if we've got all of this, if we've got all of that, and we've got the cyber fraud, and as you said, and I've said, we've got all these levels of fraud that have happened, and we've got all of this here, we've got the joint session of Congress coming to a head, the campaign presents their case, and that 10-day audit, this is kind of the medicine that the country needs right now to be able to fix ourselves. And if this doesn't happen, I think the United States of America is done. I don't think we can continue on as a country.
Well, I mean, Malcolm, I mean, you know,
I mean that.
Are you saying it that, you know, let's not even go with the Democrats. Let's even start with our own side, Mitch McConnell, who apparently has cautioned and warned and urged U.S. senators not to contest these findings, which is unremarkable to me. You know, you've got a large percentage of this body that is going to walk onto the floor of the House. This will be, by the way, a joint session, you know. And their minds are made up. All right. Now, the best thing we can do, and this is what I think is intriguing about it, is the evidence, as I have said on this, is so overwhelming that I think it's going to put individuals not predisposed to hear this and to be responsive to it. I think they're going to be required to. I think they're going to feel a selfish political necessity to confront a truth that they've been in denial about for 2 months now. And ultimately, you know, so the president says it's going to come down to the 6th. I didn't want it to come down to the 6th. I wanted these state legislatures that were constitutionally charged with assigning the electors to do it, not have to deal with alternative electors and all the now the complicating constitutional questions emerging. But I guess that is essentially where we are. And now I think the burden is this has got to be put on in an incredibly persuasive way, you know, and then starting soon, you know, you got to bring pressure on your members of Congress to listen to the evidence. And look, they're going to be required to explain their votes and how they approach this. And this will be an open session, you know, so it's the American people are going to watch it. They're going to see it. And I think those individuals who hear this evidence and vote to authenticate and authorize and ultimately install a president who well could have won through fraudulent means appears to have are going to be held politically accountable for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and then I have to footnote that since I'm constantly called on to do this, that this, you know, there's no room for violence or there's no room for, these are sensitive, emotion tugging issues. Understand all that. You have to put confidence and trust in the grassroots leadership of our conservative movement, the Trump movement, the Tea Party movement, that have navigated issues of this magnitude successfully before, and trust that we can do that.
Well, and when you talk about that moment of violence, I want to put that, and I hear what you say loud and clear. I've got a big idea I want to throw at you a little later in the program. I want to put that on ice a moment. That leaves everybody a little suspicious maybe as to what I'm thinking here, but I'll share more of that with you afterward, Michael. Really. Right now, there's two points of business I want to talk to you about next here, and then we've got to get on with it. You know, we've started this show some months ago, Michael, with the idea that we wanted to bring, we knew that it was time and a very big important need here at America Out Loud to open up the airwaves, because we know indeed that what's happened across our country has been one of the biggest sins of our lifetime, and that is the fourth estate, the media, and the vacuum of information that has been lost now to the American people. Is a travesty what's taken place here. I mean, it's disgusting. So the show you're listening to now, it's important for me to remind everybody, Viewpoint. So you have Viewpoint this Sunday, the first hour in Viewpoint Presents, which you hear Michael and I every week. It's 2 hours of excellence in talk radio. You'll hear them on Talk Radio Network every Sunday at 10 o'clock in the morning, 10 to noontime. Join us for coffee and be with us and learn what we're talking about. Powerful 2 hours, very powerful. And then they go to podcast that afternoon at 2 o'clock. And I want to talk to you all about that now. So we're on all the podcast networks worldwide. You can hear this show and this the incredible voices and what we bring to the airwaves here. You can hear it on podcast outfits like Pandora. You can hear it on Spotify, on Stitcher, on iHeart Podcast, all the major podcast units, Apple Podcast, of course, all the Android outlets, TuneIn, you name it. And it's available for you to subscribe and get totally free and be able to get up to speed and help us share the out loud truth. The show also, so there's two means to get this. You have talk radio and you have podcasts, just to be clear with you all out there. And there is an encore later Sunday afternoon, by the way, 6 to 8 on America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. We play on iHeartRadio. You can also the apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We have a great family of app holders. You can get there and listen to us. And that's the way to do it. And join this growing family of listeners here who are really dying for truth. They want the truth, Michael. You know, that's what it's all about. Yes. Here, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah. And we endeavor to deliver it. And I think I know you and I are committed to that. We're responsive to our audience, and they are looking for clear cut and accurate and actionable guidance on how to handle a very sensitive moment in American history.
Amen to that. And the email address, by the way, is liberty@americaoutloud.com. You can reach us there and drop a line anytime you wish, friends. We're here at America Out Loud. The other big business point I want to bring up to you, Michael, is something that had come to my attention some months ago. And that is when I've seen the amount of dollars, the dollars we're all spending with companies. And I had no idea this was happening, by the way. Let me put that out there in the front here. I had no idea to the likes of what was going on in our country that we were spending with companies and corporations and businesses that did not have not only our best interest at heart, but were invested in Marxist groups like Antifa's and Black Lives Matter groups that are creating violence and tearing our cities down. And they're investing overseas many of our adversaries like China, but not to the likes of what we want and that support our values. And now that we see America at this pivotal point and this turning point in our nation, it is such a key important time for us to know where we spend our money with. So I got a hold of this new group that has launched out of Pennsylvania. I think this is an area you're out of, Michael, right? In Pennsylvania?
That may be the state of my growth, but the state of my my entry into this world.
I mean, you're in Allentown, right? That's where you, right?
Yep, where they're closing all the factories down.
I know. Well,
Bethlehem, they're killing time, you know?
Yeah. So they're out of there.
Billy Joel song there for you.
That's exactly it. Go ahead, sing a rendition of that, please. Billy Joel. I mean, listen, in American music, it hardly gets better than Billy Joel and Elton John when you think of, you know, that era, right?
I mean, that's right. I think the history of that is, you know, he wanted to sing it about Levittown in Long Island, where he grew up, but it didn't quite work with the song. And then he started playing a lot in the Lehigh Valley area where I did grow up and wrote the famous song Allentown, which was a story of the of what I witnessed in the 80s. And really what kind of, as I've said many times, was the first time I really began to think about politics and the world outside of me. And I just amazed to watch Bethlehem Steel, you know, which was an iconic employer. Where I grew up, closed down right there in front of us, and everyone knew it was foreign competition.
Steel. I mean, what we're talking about is huge. And you know, I really should make that a theme song. I should contact the Joel people and maybe we use that somewhere, but it is interesting. It all kind of plays to really the America that has struggled. But anyways, let me tell you about this group that Michael and I have been sharing with you, Shop to the Right. And the website is brand new. They've just launched it. It's massive. It's amazing. It's a nationwide database is what these guys have put together, shoptotheright.com. And basically what they've done, Michael, as you and I have talked about, they've made this a nationwide database for people to list their companies. They list by categories. And the whole concept is for us to do business with like-minded people. So if we use this as a reference point, we can go there and find the kinds of companies and businesses we should be doing business with that have our patriotic values and not those that are trying to burn our cities down. It's kind of a big deal, don't you think?
I think it's a great positive development in what I think is an unfortunate moment. I mean, in the ideal world, you wouldn't have such overt politicization of so many of these monstrous companies. And I think even it would have been reversible if you take the street riots, if they had even maybe a few weeks into that said, whoa, 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 we made a big mistake here. This isn't what we signed on for. You know, we're all on, you know, both sides of this debate against discriminatory practice, against, you know, unlawful law enforcement practices. I mean, who's for that? I'm not hearing anybody, you know, but this money went in from major big brands in this country. And I haven't heard any one of them come forward and say that that was not the activities that they had hoped to support.
That's it.
So,
that's
it. You know, and these are big companies, you know.
They're
Microsoft,
big companies. Like Nike,
Reddit,
I told you,
Salesforce,
I went to buy sneakers for my
Uber.
Son, and we said, you know, and I started hearing the investment that Nike was making, and I stirred him away from Nike, and he went and got New Balance, buddy.
Yeah, well, I'm a big fan of New Balance, and they're very comfortable sneakers too, I must say. Really, and American made as well.
That's what matters right there. So, I mean, listen, I mean, not that they're a sponsor, but the point is they are an American company, and that's what we're talking about here. So the point here is to get to Shop to the Right. And the other thing, Michael, that people can do is they can list their business on there for free. So there are two ways we can use this thing. One is consumers, you and I, to go to Shop to the Right to see is that somebody who is signed up to be a patriotic business, somebody we want to do business with. As consumers, we can and we should all be doing this and make this a very natural instinct to go to shoptotheright.com, check it out. But the other thing is if you're a business, a company, corporation, organization, you can list that there for free and get into that database and then people can find you all over the country. It's a big idea. It's a cool idea.
It's unfortunately, it's just going to be, it's not even just a cool idea. It's a necessary idea. I mean, we've reached the point right now where the magnitude of progressive control over all of these key institutions, and we haven't talked enough about big business, but it's right there with them. And I've talked to you about the fact that, you know, I open up like business media these days and it's not really about business any longer. It's about this entire progressive agenda and they're kind of rewriting all the rules to align them with the political agenda of a movement in this country that probably doesn't have much more than 15% support at max, I would say, left.
Yeah, that's right. No, you're exactly right. But they have loud voices, Michael, and they get the attention of the media.
And they put in the work. I mean, you know, they know what they're doing.
That's yeah, sure well, the extremists always do. But the worst part about this is what I said earlier about the Fourth Estate when I was referencing America Out Loud. The Fourth Estate has got the attention of these people and they give them the airwaves. But not only that, Michael, but they back up their horrible campaigns and they justify them burning down in our cities and vandalizing things. They justify it all in the guise of a lot of BS is what they do.
No, they were largely nonviolent. I was told that. I read that somewhere.
Is that right? What? Where did your USA Today or New York Times?
There's 1.4 like $1.4 billion of largely nonviolent violence.
Oh man! Well, there it is, right there. But so, Michael, we gotta. You know, you always talk about movements. Your passion, and you just laid it out there perfectly. Is so vital that if we don't start doing this as a people, we're going to have nobody to blame but ourselves. So I got to tell you, I'm impressed with the movement here. I'm impressed with these guys. That's why I decided to help them bring attention and bring it to the airwaves. If we don't start doing what you've suggested to me, Michael Johns, if we don't start connecting to get collecting our thoughts and our ideas as a people and become united in what we want as a country, we are definitely waking up any moment soon and we will find there is no country left.
Well, I was on board with what the product they're offering before I knew they were from Allentown. But now that I know they're from Allentown, I want to see them rise to Fortune 500 level.
I love it. I absolutely love it. You know, he, when it comes to PA and Allentown, Michael's all on it there. We got to contact Joel and get and see if we can't play their song. Anyways, shoptotheright.com, friends, is how you get it there. And again, our show, Viewpoint, the podcast, is there on Apple Podcasts to subscribe or any of the networks again around the world here. We're going to continue on with more Viewpoint in just a moment.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
My fellow Americans, you've watched for decades as radical Marxists have systematically taken over some of our nation's most cherished institutions. Well, AmericaOutLoud.com is fighting back with one of the fastest growing conservative media networks in the world, featuring some of the nation's most influential experts and commentators. Join us. We're in this together, and we consider you part of our family in our crusade to share the news, commentary, and agenda that can lead America back again. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all. So there is a bigger quandary I want to bounce at you out there, all you listeners, and I want to bounce off Michael Johns here as well. And again, welcome back to the program on Viewpoint Presents. It's Malcolm here along with Michael Johns. So I reference up front, Michael, in the program, That we are dealing with a very big political battle in our country. We're also dealing with a spiritual battle of good and evil, which you know I reference all the time, Michael, on my daily program on the Voice of a Nation.
Yes.
And here on Viewpoint with you. I believe we're having a battle in our country like we haven't seen before, which is why all these unusual things are happening. And it's why we're coming to the point where we are pinching ourselves or scratching our heads and wondering, is this really happening? Because it's so far out there. None of us could ever imagine that we're living through this historic moment of time. Something I will remind everybody that you, Michael, and I have been predicting for months and months and months that we were coming to some unusual crossroads, and here we are. Now, with all of this battle and where we're at right now, here's what I want to throw a quandary at you, Michael, and I want you to think about this and really think through what I throw at you here. And then give us, I mean, we want to hear from Michael Johnson. I want to hear your response to this. And here's what I want to reference. I think right now, the United States of America, we are 245 years in. As I referenced earlier in the program here, we have approximately 330 million people here in our nation. If we bring our country back, Michael, to the year 1800, let me just remind everybody, we had 5.5 million people, Michael. 1900, we had 76 million. In 1950, we had 152 million. Now think about this a moment, 152 million people. We have 330 million people here in just 70 years. We've more than doubled our growth, and here we are. So now we have that many more people. When we were 13 colonies, when we were less people and we were fighting against the king, when we were doing a lot of things and we became the United States of America, we could consolidate what seemed to be very obvious at that point. Here's what I throw at you today, Michael. I think we've gotten to a point in our country when you historically look back at the presidency of Barack Obama and the damage that was done to this republic through those years, but also the damage, I will remind you and everyone, that was done to our country really over the last 28 years of Bush, Clinton, Bush and Obama, which I reference all the time, and you know that. Okay.
Right.
You go through the Obama years, you see what happened there. Then you take Trump. Now, when you consider this, Michael, for eight years under Obama, but then 4 years with Trump, when you consider all of the powers in our nation have been up against to make this president hurt, to get him out of office, we have never seen an administration attack to the likes of what we've just experienced. It has never happened in your lifetime, Michael, or mine, or anybody listening on the airwaves right now could deny what I've just said, has been attacked like this president over 4 years. You consider the adversaries and the enemies who have fought us from within and where we are today. Now we look at this election here. We come to this moment of truth in our country. And as we had this big conversation in the first hour, it appears to me, and it appears to many others, we are not united at all in this country. When you consider the fact that we can't agree on anything, Michael, and we consider a red America and a blue America and where we are, I, for one, as a conservative, patriotic lover of our Constitution, a lover of our nation, I would lay down my life for our country. I would say to you this, Michael, I don't want to live in a blue America. I'm not interested in liberal, progressive, socialist policies. I don't want them. I don't want to live here. Not interested. And I can speak for millions of people that stand with me. So having said that, if it is indeed a need for confrontation, then bring it on. But I will suggest to you this, Michael, back to your earlier point, know that we are getting now to the point of Lexington Concord now in this country. I don't say that as a smart ass or a wise ass, but as a person who is pissed off and ready for whatever's going to happen next. So I'll say to you this, I think it is time to look genuinely at splitting this country up. Is that the alternative we need to look at now? Because there is no United States of America. How can we ever become united again? I think it's becoming a fairy tale, Michael. And I hate to admit this. Believe me, I hate it because I love this country. But I no longer love all the people in this country. I no longer love the socialists and the communists who are tearing us a new asshole. I no longer love this. And I don't want to live in that country.
Well, those are sentiments I think that are broadly held. I'm going to tell you that we have to assume some responsibility for the country that we have allowed to be created over the last few decades. And there has been obviously an evolution in a lot of components of this country, of what you know. You think about the founding of this country, and a few things that you pointed out that are both accurate and insightful. One was just the very size of it. So when you go to unify people, all of whom came here with essentially the same objective in mind, which was very much rooted in a freedom of religion, of a wanting to practice their faith without governmental intervention. That was a primary motivating factor, even more so than entrepreneurship or wanting to be part of something new. You can't overlook that. And we were founded by very spiritually driven Christians who believed that God was driving their work, and that they were accountable to God, that their acts were accountable to God, and that they could not accomplish what they wanted to accomplish without God's intervention. And that spiritual approach cannot be underestimated in their ability to succeed, because they undertook a revolution at that time and put in place a system of government that was a real stretch from the standpoint of realistic expectations, defeating one of the most powerful standing armies in the world with a ragtag group of patriots put together who wanted independence, and a country then that, by the way, that was split on the issue of military confrontation against the British. And that's important to remember. So what we're confronting right now isn't necessarily a new thing. What is new is that we have had the emergence of a very powerful movement in this country over the last few decades. It's been well-funded, including from foreign sources, and a lot of powerful interests that want to see this country weakened, overtaken. I think particularly when it comes to the issue of China, which a lot of the roads on the problems we're confronting go back to China, they see us as the last remaining barrier to their global objectives and want to see us torn apart. I will say what unites us still, I think largely this still is a very faith-driven country. I think it's a country that believes in freedom, at least intellectually and conceptually, though it's falling short in its willingness to stand up and take, you know, the political action often necessary to accomplish it. And we have, on top of it, some really key institutions in this country that you would rely on historically to inform, educate, and guide Americans, particularly young Americans, in education, media, culture. That were taken over and quite predictably have impacted their outlook on the world. You know, so we have large percentages of millennials who think communism is maybe not such a bad idea. You took those people and put them in Pol Pot's Cambodia, or put them in Stalin's Soviet Union, and obviously they would have a very different view. But no one taught them about Pol Pot. No one taught them about Stalin. No one taught them about, you know, Mao's so-called cultural revolution, which took over 20 million lives. So they are largely uninformed, and I think the American people have been uninformed about the realities of communism.
Well, here's what I want to say back to you here. I want to push back slightly on something here. You talked about what connects us, right? What connects us as a people, right? Versus what we were talking about, right? What divides us. Okay. Now, you mentioned God a moment ago, but I want you to think a little bit more on this. As I'll really think about this, Michael, I've given this a lot of thought. I'm not just speaking off the cuff here. I'm telling you, brother, I've given this a great deal of thought. And I understand the fight that we're in right now, and it scares the hell out of me. I no longer am proudful of where we sit right this moment here. No, I don't believe God connects us anymore with what you said. I would disagree with that. And let me read this short, just a couple of few sentences here from somebody who we both know, but I don't want to tell you who said this first. Let me just put it out there. And I'd like you to comment on it because it says a lot, just these few sentences. And by the way, I read these up front in the program to Alveda King, by the way, okay? And got her opinion on this. I know, just got her opinion on it. You'd be surprised what she says. So let me read this to you here. And this is it. The unprecedented collapse of morals in America from a country in which right and wrong were clearly delineated. America has become a free-for-all of the drug abuse and sexual deviancy. From gay marriage to LGBT to transgenderism to abortion. America is now the least God-fearing and most immoral nation in the world, bar none. How the mighty has fallen from first to last in less than a century. And they actually talk about this happened within a 70-year period. We've gone from being at our best around 1950-ish, 60, Michael, right there in that time frame with all the victories we had in the world wars and what had taken place to where we've torn ourselves apart. Now, when you hear that paragraph I just put out there, it's hard to argue back with that as much as I'd like to. There's a lot of truth in that, is there not?
There's a great degree of truth in it. We have been put into positions of rethinking a lot of things that have been historically taken as matters of fact. And you can't create and overhaul a country's governmental systems without getting people to first become disbelieving in the one that exists currently. And that has been the greatest accomplishment of the far left over the last few decades, is that they have been able to persuade, and I'm not saying they persuaded all Americans or even a majority of Americans, but they've persuaded a sufficient number of key institutions that this country is more wrong than right and is got within it core founding principles that you know, I have championed, I believe you've championed, that aren't so admirable in their eyes. And in misleading the American people about the founding and about the history of it, they have been able to create an environment where things like rigging a federal election to achieve those ends may not seem like such a extreme idea. And I mean, is that not what we're confronting here? Because when I look at how I'm looking at this, and I think you look at it this way too, Malcolm, is that it's shocking to me that we would have individuals, institutions, we don't even know who go to the lengths to do the things that they did in this election, you know, and that it was done at a high level, a mid level, and down to a low level. I mean, a poll worker who would want to participate in undermining American democracy. It's shocking. What's even more shocking, however, is that for 2 months I have watched very carefully this country's response, and I have been underwhelmed because I'm not seeing the level of outrage that I think should accompany the magnitude of what we have just experienced and gone through. And we're going to see that here on Wednesday in Washington and in many state capitals around the country. But I'm sort of offering my seasoned, I think fairly educated opinion based on having witnessed the political evolution in this country and having seen Marxist revolutions and been a part of, you know, opposing them abroad and being in those countries while they're transpiring, that your expectation that this country is just going to continue on as you've known it with the freedoms that you've enjoyed and the liberties you've enjoyed and the accountable government that you've enjoyed, if you take it for granted and you don't engage yourself in a major way, you'll lose because, and we will lose, and this country will lose because the forces on the other side are not, this is no joking matter. This is no part-time undertaking. These are deadly serious people with deadly serious plans. And I have to say, if you looked at their grand strategic plan, if you laid out their 1,000-page book, you know, we're kind of like more than halfway through the book. I mean, a good number of these chapters have been written and executed. And when you looked at the book maybe 100 years ago, we would have sort of laughed at it. This is absurd. The American people would never subscribe to these things.
Yeah.
Well, they've sold it, and they've sold it in ways that have circumvented our Constitution, circumvented the rule of law. Mm-hmm. Now, literally, they're literally spitting in the face of the American voter.
Oh, my God.
And we're, we're just going on with our lives. And I'm telling you, they're noticing that too. Which, when you look at what incentivizes their,
you better believe it.
So it's like, let's see, can we get away with this? Can we get away with
That's
this?
It. That's it.
Can we get away with this? Okay, yeah. Okay, now we can burn buildings down. Okay. How about rigging an election? How are they going to respond to that? You know, and unfortunately, we're dealing with a situation where we're not rising to the moment and the cause.
Brother, you are an encyclopedia of wisdom. I mean, think about this a moment. You are an encyclopedia of wisdom. I want to talk about the enemy a moment, picking on what you just say right there. I want to do this. Allow me, let me give you this quick fable or parable that I put at the top of the program with Elvita. I want to share it with you, Michael, because, and I think you'll have an answer back to this. Talk about our enemy a moment. And it, real quick, here it is. If you go to the Southwest desert and catch 100 red fire ants, as well as 100 large black ants, and put them in a jar, at first nothing will happen. However, if you violently shake the jar and dump them back on the ground, the ants will fight like hell until they eventually kill each other, Michael. Well, the thing is, the red ants think the black ants are the enemy and vice versa, when in reality, the real enemy is the person who shook the jar. That is exactly what's happening in our society today. Liberal versus conservative, black versus white, pro-mask versus anti-mask. The real question we need to be asking ourselves is who is shaking the jar and why? So, Michael Johns, I ask you, who's shaking the jar and why?
We have an elite government that has distanced itself from the people and has surrounded itself with ideologues and well-funded institutions that have a very distinct and aggressive agenda. And as they become more distant from the people, they have shaken the jar, to raise your issue. And many of them welcome this climate that we're being described, that's being described so, and is proving so detrimental to this country. But they have not yet completely transformed the minds of the American people. Power still lies with the American people. And let me say this, you've noticed this, Malcolm, over the last 2 months, the Biden crowd, if there is such a thing, or those who celebrated the outcome purportedly of this election are not jumping on the jam with joy. They are terrified still of the American people. And they're trying to rein them in, and they're trying to create perceptions and incentives for us to be quiet and to put up with this. It's not so far working, but we need to up our game. And if we do that and we unite, we're allowing the jar not to be shaken, and we're building the alliances that make us the formidable political and social force in this country of Americanism, over their globalism and their progressivism, ultimately their socialism and communism, that I think they have a full comfort level with.
That is my friend, my colleague and partner here, Michael Johns. What you've just listened to, I believe, could be positioned as the most powerful talk and conversation we've had to date. And that's saying some, because we've had some pretty remarkable programming. But you've just heard a lot here, certainly over this last hour, and for sure over the last couple of hours. There's a lot to think about ahead, my fellow Americans. But now you have all the goods, and now what are you going to do about it? It's the question we always have to ask, right? And I'll end you with these words. It's time to get involved and get loud.